Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline, and today we are recapping Pretty Little Liars Season 7, Episode 8. I think it's called X's and OMGs.
It is, and I even remembered that when I wrote it down.
Wow. I'm not looking at anything at all.
Straight
out of the old noggin.
While it was loading, I was writing it down and I said, I think I know this one.
I think I got this one.
I remembered that we get a... I remembered about my synopsis from last week. And
yeah.
Who we talked about.
I remembered it too.
Emily is in a fucking love...
triangle.
Yeah, it's not even like... you can't even appropriately call it a triangle because... no one knows about each other, except I do think Sabrina got a weird vibe from Allie, but...
I do, too.
Can you turn your mic up just a little bit? It's like Emily is just, like, she's just got... it's like she's the Bachelorette right now.
Oh, yes. She's, also, like, being pulled for a chat, people looking through the windows, literally. Like, when is it my turn? Absolutely.
Paige is immediately creeping me out, though.
Yes, she gives me the ick in such a major way. And I don't know if it's our personal ties or the character itself.
No, I think maybe it was her looking through the window at Emily's date that Paige didn't know what was going on.
That'll do. And it's also like, Paige, did you think you guys were
going to get
back on? Like the way she's looking, she doesn't look like wistfully like, oh, I love this person. She looks like pissed the hell off.
It's giving me
She's like,
skin.
Is this a fucking joke? You're already cheating on me. I've been back for 24 hours. You're already cheating on me. Like, that's the vibe. Sorry. Spoilers for the episode. Mose is back. I know I'm not going to call her Paige.
But what I noticed about... actually, I'm going to have you turn it back down a little bit. I hate to say it.
Okay.
Just because I can hear whatever is whirring in the back of your room.
Still you can?
No, not anymore. Okay, this recap, I was like, you guys are leaving out kind of a lot. like,
what?
Like, I was like, we're kind of missing a lot, in my opinion. But
by the
way,
are you holding your mic in your hand?
Yeah, because my stand broke. Oh, I can fix it. I just haven't.
Do you need it? Okay, well, if you need a new one, just tell me and I'll send you one.
No, I don't think it's that broken. Anyway, so if you'll remember, at one point a couple weeks ago, Ezra went out to go get errands. So naturally, he left his phone behind because he doesn't need it. And Aria hears it getting a phone call, and it's Nicole. And Emily gives Aria permission to delete the call and to not feel guilty about it. But they're going to regret that because guess what? When they're headed out the door to elope, the FBI are there waiting for them. And they're like, hey, we think this girl's alive. And Aria has to be like, what?
Wait, what?
Yeah. We get a little reminder of who Mrs. Grunwald is and her, like, I think Hannah feels like Mrs. Grunwald's, like, apprentice in, like, some weird way.
It is. And I was like, did I forget that they have this, like, really powerful relationship? Like,
yeah, well, did you watch
the
recap?
Caleb thing? No.
Because in the recap, we see that there's that scene in the, what the fuck are they called? The mortuary? Is that the name of the thing in a cemetery? Like the building? Mausoleum.
Mausoleum.
I'm so used to Arya's home that people live in being referred to as a mausoleum that
absolutely.
I forget.
You're like, that's not a mausoleum. I know a mausoleum when I see one.
But there's that scene where Hannah, like, brings, like, a stuffed animal or something, and, like, it's just her, Mrs. Grunwald, anyway. So we are reminded of that. Caleb and Spencer broke up. And then, this is what I'm saying, is, like, we get all these scenes because there's so much to fit in, but there's no context. Spencer and Hannah have to go into Jenna's hotel room to look for something, and they find something, but then someone comes in, so they have to hide under the bed, and that's when we see that it's Noel Kahn calling someone called Dr. Cochran. Kelly...
I was like, I can't believe Kelly didn't tell me that she's in this episode.
Literally.
That's actually crazy of her.
It's really mean.
And that she's a doctor.
Yeah.
I also didn't know that. And it's like, that's not me being a bad friend. Okay?
And
she commutes
to Rosewood all the time. Or Brookhaven.
Yeah.
All the time. It's crazy.
That is so classic, Kelly.
So classic. But he tells Dr. Cochran that they're running out of time or something, and Spencer and Hannah are under the bed for this whole thing. And he came in actually to put a this wasn't even in the recap, this whole Yvonne thing. He comes into the hotel room to put the Mary Drake file that Emily dropped off at Toby and Yvonne's Airstream. He puts that in this box that Spencer and Hannah were looking in. And this is when we get confirmation that, yes, AD did put tiny little Yvonne in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then also, Aunt Carol's house is where Mary Drake was for a little bit. That's like Jason ran into Mary Drake there, kind of, really, Jessica. Anyway, they go there because they find out that there's a storm cellar. And they go downstairs and they go down into the cellar and they see that there's all this stuff. And it looks like Jess had been before she was alive, like while Allie was still missing, looking for Allie. And we also find out that Mary Drake has a second child. And then when they go back upstairs to the car, they get locked in the car and then the cellar explodes.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, guess whose files are missing? Aria's and Noel's. And then A writes on the back of the windshield, a la Noel Kahn at Camp Mona, as Hannah astutely observes, "I see you." That was a terrible recap, but it's because they didn't really do me any favors.
You're like, it's not my fault. I am not taking the fall for this. No, I am not taking the fall for this. So we open, and I just want to say that if previous episodes in this season have been Hannah and her and era, she is now entering her crash out era. She is now entering her, if you want something done, you have to do it yourself era. And frankly, I'm noticing something that when Hannah has an idea and the other girls are like, "Hannah, you're so stupid, shut up," when they say that to her instead of hearing her out, she goes off on her own. She doesn't make it everybody else's problem. She doesn't expect them to drop everything, even though she's given them opportunities to join her. Like, they're always invited. But she's like, "I will do this, but I will handle this by myself and get it done." And it makes me sad because I'm like, she should have support. You know, Spencer would be like, "Aria, now, drop everything. Let's go." In fact, she does do that.
She does that literally in this episode. She says, "Let's go."
Something I notice about Hannah is she's like, "Okay, whatever. I will put myself in harm's way. I will do this on my own. Because I can't fucking count on you bitches."
This episode immediately starts and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
It's another one of those episodes where I have to write a trillion things down. Where there is
a lot of information.
It's like every line is like this. It's like, yes. Okay, I don't have time for this.
And the worst, I was a little bit peeved, tell me if you feel the same, when I realized this opening sequence with all this information was a fucking dream. So we open and the girls are like walking through Rosewood Times Square. We also have Caleb. I don't remember if there are any other guys there. And they're sort of connecting all of the dots that they have. So they're talking about how Noel definitely stole the Mary Drake file from the Airstream and hurt Yvonne, but that Yvonne is okay. And that Noel called Dr. Cochran and that.
I'm also thinking, does this thing that Allie says in a second, do these things, are these real? Like, are these facts that we can, that we have to remember? Or is it not legitimate? Because
That's my thing too.
And I'm also like, did we know this thing about when Allie says, because they talk about how I love this version of Allie and Hannah's dream, because Emily's like, "Allie, you and Noel were pretty close," and Allie's in her like, her adult-isms are like such an eye roll the way that she talks the whole time. She's like, "I mean, I'm not proud of it, but yeah."
It's like, are you not though? It just does not match up with the Allie that we have come to know and quite frankly love.
But she says, "I wasn't until I found out that he was spying on me for Charlotte," which I'm like, did we know that?
I don't think we knew that. We also, I don't know if we knew this. So they're talking about Hannah's like, who burned us out of the storm cellar? Someone who didn't want us to know that Mary Drake had a second child. Hannah is sure that it's Noel. And she does have this great quote. She says, "He has more anus than anyone else out there." And Spencer's like, "Yeah, I just feel like there's a better way." And I'm like, even in her dream, Spencer's bopping Hannah like this.
Exactly. And that's how we are like, wait, was that dream where Spencer was so nice to you? Was that really your subconscious?
Yeah, good question. But Allie explains that she actually has something on Noel from years ago. And this is another piece where I'm like, because we revisit it later and no one says, "Hannah, how do you know that?" No one says that's not true. But we find out that Noel actually, if we think back to that frat party that Allie took the girls to and made them get fake IDs for,
Hannah's so
sorority
funny.
Girl fell down the steps, but she didn't fall. She was pushed by Noel Kahn.
Allie has that
on him. And I'm like, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I do not think that's still going to hold any weight. And we're right because his family paid the girl off. But is that true? We don't know because
Allie
we wake up and Hannah was dreaming it all.
She leads into it and Hannah goes, yeah, and all the frat guys were so drunk and... It's like, yeah. It's like conversation. Okay. We should have known it was a dream because it's very weird.
And what about it? I remember all the drunk guys lusting over me. What else? I can't remember like, anything else of note.
Han, do you remember what year that was?
Han. Do you mean lusting after us? Me? I know we're both blonde and it's easy to get it confused, but it's not that easy to get it confused.
Especially back then, you know.
Yeah. So Hannah gets so angry, storms off. Nobody believes me. Wah, wah, wah. Which, like, rightfully so. And Caleb follows her, and they're kind of having this little altercation in the street, one of Hannah's favorite places to be, famously. And a car comes flooring it towards them. Caleb pushes Hannah out of the way, gets hit by the car, and Hannah looks, and we see that Noel Kahn is driving the car and gives this, like, eat shit look. Me thinking this is all happening for real.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Let's be in my crash out era.
As soon as the car started going, I was like, wait, I don't think this is real.
Well, and again, need I remind you, you have seen this before. You should have known immediately.
No, but literally me trying to think about what Hannah's doing until the very last scene of the episode, I'm like, wait, I know she goes off and does something, but I literally cannot remember. And then seeing the end sequence, I was like,
oh,
Hannah, this was a decision that we should have slept on a couple more times probably. So we go to the Radley. Hannah has gone to Caleb's room to make sure that he's all right. And they like hug and then they pull away and it's like, awkward.
It's like hashtag awkward. Something here hashtag awkward. But he's going over all the photos that they took of all the documents in the lockbox, and everything except for the DNA, Mary Drake's DNA, is in a code that he can't crack. And there's been no sign of Mary lately, and Jenna hasn't left her room. And Hannah goes, has there been any tapping around we need to be aware of? I love it. And he's like, no, she hasn't left her room. And Caleb also got Hannah a new bug-free phone, and he got everybody new phones. And she goes, oh, I hate breaking in new phones. Retweet. That actually does suck. Adding all your contacts.
You don't have to do that anymore.
I know, but so when I get a new phone, I oftentimes have the internal struggle, do I want to become a brand new version of me, never before seen, or do I want to be... like continue on.
You know, that is
with
a tough decision.
I'm thinking
about that when I eventually get a new phone.
I know, and
like,
it's like
it's probably sooner
it's like there's something
later.
So poetic and beautiful about wiping the slate clean. And I used to be like, look, I'm not adding anyone's numbers. You can text me if you want to talk to me, and then I'll only have the numbers of people who want to talk to me.
Yeah, that's like equally exciting, and also like it gives that same feeling as like handing over your old computer to the Apple worker.
Yes, and it's like. I mean, I don't know if I need my 10th grade Russian history essay, but I sure might. And it's on here.
I feel like I'm walking out of here without an organ now.
Exactly. I know. So I get it, Hannah.
Jenna hasn't left her room. Mary Drake is really only going between the De Laurentiis dungeon and the Lost Woods Resort. So Noel is where they're falling. Like, and Hannah is just like, Hannah... It's like a dog with a bone with Noel right now. And I don't think she's completely off, but I do think that we need a little bit more flexibility in our theories. Especially because I do think that what Sarah said to Emily might have some legs. Like, I think that it...
For sure.
I don't think that it was bad intentioned.
No, and that comes up later as well. But one of the other things I think about Hannah is she's so frustrated by everyone else's inability to even like listen to her. Like, they listen and they're just like, okay, so anyway, or okay, that's not it, or okay, whatever.
We're gonna go talk by ourselves while you stand here.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the adults are gonna go have a conversation. And it's so frustrating as Hannah, personally as Hannah, but for her, that I think like she needs this to be true. And she needs to prove it, because now it's like there's something to prove as well. Like, it's like, you guys don't pay attention to me. And look, I freaking cracked the case. Like, that's what she wants to happen
and
here.
And guys, Caleb got Hannah a phone case to go on her phone.
Oh, I noticed that. And it looks like the other phone case that she had, but this one's in
like
white.
The
other one was in pink.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Cute.
We go to Ezra's loft, and Emily is trying to, quote, prevent an explosion in a small woman. I love when they give Shay Mitchell these lines that it's like, you can tell she does not want to have to read.
You can tell that's like, that line wasn't in the script, and like Aria in character was like, could you just say something about how small I am? I feel like we haven't mentioned it in a while, and people are talking about how small Yvonne is. And it's like, hello, I'm small too. Have we all forgotten that I'm small too? That I'm fun size? Yeah.
Fun side. But I mean, you're not far off because this conversation is me. Aria is only concerned about this Nicole situation in the way that it affects her and the way that it like speaks on her character because of the phone. Like she's not worried about Ezra really. She seems like she's hoping that she's dead.
She's like, aren't we done with Nicole? Aren't we done with this? Like, aren't we done with her? Like, oh my God, I pretty much forgot about her once I finished the book. Like, I just think she's expecting, like, we're engaged now. Like, this is Emily, in your past. Like, it shouldn't still have a hold on you.
Emily's like, and Arya, you can't root for her to not. Because Arya's like, what if she's alive?
The fact like, that Emily actually says that to Emily to Arya in the scene. This is not us world building. Emily actually says, hey, Arya, just so you know.
You can't root for her not to be.
You can't, like, manifest that she's dead. Like, that's actually, that would make you a bad fiance. She's freaking out though because she's like, oh, I deleted it. And Ezra is, I think, like at the police station, and he's
right
trying
now
to, like,
help and
them.
yeah and Arya goes, I lied to him, Emily. And at that moment Ezra walks in and he does his little lied about what
lied about what, and he had been with the police, and so Arya immediately comes clean, thank God. She tells him about the call from Nicole and that she deleted it. And
once again in this position where she's been in, like, this whole season where she is now in the middle of a couple having a really uncomfortable moment. And she goes, I think I'm going to head out.
Part is she has to let it go on for a little bit. Like, they have a full
conversation before she does
that. She doesn't, like, leave right away. Like, they're fully having a conversation. We find out information. And at the end of it, she's like, well, I'm just going to head on out. Like, she just can't, because they're also in the middle of the room blocking the door. Mm-hmm. So she, like, can't. She's got to, like, find her moment to exit the scene. And we find out from Ezra that one of the trucks Nicole was with was spotted in Colombia, and the military is going into the jungle in 2 hours, and they don't know what they'll find.
This is
so
also
gonna shower and then head back to the station.
So classic, like, the situation that's about Arya, and, like, we're not even... I forgot until Emily left. I was like, and Ezra sharing this news that, like, Ezra only knows Nicole because of Emily. Like, Emily and Nicole were close. And, like, Emily can't even. Not that I don't think they're necessarily writing it into the script that she would be having a moment. But for the sake of our lore, it's so classic that Emily is like, okay, well, I mean, I'll just go be upset about this when I go home. Like, I'll just.
No, I literally forgot that they knew each other because of how much that is just. Not acknowledge. I mean, way to go, Arya. Arya fully took this entire human being and made it all about her by writing a book about it. She's like, Emily, you basically have no claim to her anymore.
Or
I'm actually shocked that Arya hasn't said, Emily, this is all your fault. Emily, I know I lied to him, but it was really to cover up for you. You introduced us to Nicole. If that had not happened, none of this would be going on. And I don't know how you're going to live with it, but I hope you can find a way. But you've got to tell Ezra.
It's going to be kind of...
tell Ezra. And Emily's like, tell us what?
That you literally made me delete the call.
That you forced me to delete the phone call because you and Nicole have some weird, like, that was like your. I don't know why you wanted me to do it. I do not know why you told me to delete the call. I don't know. So you can explain it to Z. Like, you can explain it.
So we go to the brew and Allie and Emily are talking before school. And this, guys, this episode, bother trying to know what time it is.
Do not bother. This
because
whole
even
time,
mid-scene, like, when Emily's talking to Ezra later, it's, like, pitch black outside. Yeah. And then when they stand up, there's a light hitting them in the face that makes it look like it's daytime outside.
No, literally. Well, it's crazy.
And same with Hannah and Grunwald.
I guess we do start with Hannah waking up. But in my mind, it wasn't, like, waking up, like, in the morning, and now the day has started. She must have woken up at 4 a.m. if we're going chronologically, because then we get this whole scene with Emily and Arya. Ezra's already been at the police station being questioned all morning. Now Emily has time to go hang out with another friend before her friend has school at 8 a.m.
And she's getting there 20 before the first bell.
Like, crazy, crazy. So she is basically updating Allie on all the Ezra stuff, and Allie is like, well, it's a big day for all of us. I'm going back to teach at Rosewood today. And Emily's like, I don't know about that. Hey, Al, I don't know about that.
You didn't
and
really
Allie's
check
like,
with
look,
me.
I got a clean bill of health and I'm freaking broke. I'm freaking broke. So I need some cashola. So
I'm
going to be
like,
going
wait,
back
I have
to
the
work.
Perfect solution. And it didn't work perfectly for me, but it
you
would
could.
Have
you
could
ever heard?
Hear me out.
You got eggs, right? Ellie didn't take your eggs. He just took mine. Okay. You got eggs?
You could sell them. So they're talking about all that, and then Allie leaves, and I lied last episode. I was like, yeah, I don't think we're ever going to see Sabrina again.
Phoebe's like, just kiss her goodbye. You will literally never see that girl again. No, she's dead meat. She's not coming back. I was like, that seems crazy that we wouldn't get any additional closure.
What I am going to say is, like, I don't think we really do get closure. I just thought that it happened. I just thought, like, the missing closure came earlier than it did. But I still don't think we get, like, a breakup. I'm being totally honest. I mean,
look, something else must happen because we actually end the episode with them on a date. So I believe we're meant to believe they're together.
And we only have 10 episodes left.
Stop.
11. So they're talking. And then we hear the unmistakable voice of someone who I thought we all resented, hated, couldn't stand, was terrible, was a villain in our stories, Principal
Hackett. And I thought he felt that way about the girls as well. I certainly didn't think he would be on his hands and knees begging Emily Fields to apply for the job.
Well, it's because he saw someone else's application come across his desk and he was like, no.
Like, anyone but her, anyone but Moe's. So he is here to pick up treats because it is, thank God it's Danish Day. Never heard of it. At the school. And he goes, I was just thinking about you, Emily. Things you don't want to hear from your former principal. I don't believe you.
Maybe in a bad way, considering all that you put them through.
Right. He said the head swim coach position is open at the high school and they'd love to have her back. And then I just one little thing I noticed, little character moment where Emily then grabs the door for Principal Hackett to hold it for him. And then, like, she stays in the brew. She's not going out as well. And I just wanted to say Arya would never.
No.
You would never see that happen. And
Arya is actually so rude this entire episode to any stranger.
I think
she was
okay at the very end. Like,
oh,
I thought for once
well, yes,
she had
to
like
the man to the man that she's going to marry. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, to complete and total strangers, not so much.
No.
But Emily goes back up to the counter and Sabrina goes, Emily Fields, you surprise me. And I just want to say, we knew that.
Emily Fields isn't boring. Wait, I want to see it. Get up and turn around. I said, get up and turn around. Hope this helps. Okay, show me the sleeve. Yeah, and she's referencing that Emily Fields isn't boring merch that we put out for Pride. So go check it out. Anyway, okay. So we have Sparia. Sparia's at work. Spencer found Dr. Cochran, the doctor that Noel called, and she wants to go track the doctor down in Brookhaven. And she goes, let's fucking go.
She literally says, let's go.
And Arya barely has time. Yeah.
Bingo.
I don't know what I was like trying to say, but it didn't come out. That's
we
sure.
go to the high school and I'm just like, what?
This is organized crime against a teacher. This is the kind of shit that like substitute teachers thought kids were doing.
Yeah.
Do you remember like there was that big era of like try to prank your sub? Like it was like you had a sub coming in, tell them you have a different last name. Actually, mom told me once that her brother, our Uncle Sean, came up with this awesome prank that he was going to tell the substitute teacher that everybody went by their last names in class. And he got the whole class to go along with it. So like the entire time a substitute was like calling all of them by their last names. And I don't really know why this was an epic prank, but
so
I guess
funny.
It was. So I tried to do it in like fifth grade and it wasn't a hit. It
in
didn't really
sixth
work
grade,
out.
The teacher that just reached out about the article, he
yeah.
was out and the student teacher, our literature student teacher was like our sub. So we all mm-hmm. knew her because she was like, she had been our student teacher the semester
yeah.
before. And there were some crazy kids in our class. And we had fun in this class. Like he loved our period for a really long mm-hmm. time until this incident. We didn't do anything
oh
that crazy, but it's just like the lack of respect in that room. She texted him mid-class and was like, he read us the Riot Act when he got back.
That was always the worst when, like, you knew that you guys kind of, like, fucked around.
And also when
and
you know
the
sub, like, has,
now
especially
in
our district, I feel like the subs did have, like, a relationship with the teachers. So it wasn't, like, a random sub that would, like, not ever contact
your
teachers.
You guys, like, you guys knew better. That teacher was at the school. You knew better.
Yeah. Totally.
So it's totally on you.
100%
completely on you.
And I would,
but anyway,
I would never
pranking subs used to be like an extracurricular. It was like fun, and this is giving that energy. But this is crazy because this involved budget. This prank involved
also
budget,
like,
and this is not your sub.
And also like
this
a ton of
real
lore.
Teacher
and your teacher that you know what? Like, I mean, I don't know what they know, but I'm like, And this is,
can you imagine?
This is an issue that I've had actually with Rosewood's response to everything pretty consistently. I know these girls suck, but like once the truth comes out, I'm pretty sure they end up on pretty much the right side of history every time, like they were the victims. And yeah, still the whole community just terrorizes the hell out of them.
Yes, no, that's for sure. And it's also, I'm just going to say something like, in what world is Allison De Laurentiis teaching at Rosewood High School?
It's not happening.
I am sorry. That's not happening. Can you imagine if there was a teacher at our school that who had the amount story of lore that this girl had, like, not that long ago? It's actually, and also when I say not that long ago, I mean, let's pretend she didn't go missing. Let's pretend that whole thing didn't happen when she would be 16. Let's pretend that didn't happen. What just happened with her husband would be enough to know that she was just in Welby. Like, I just don't think, it's not even about, are you medically cleared to be here? It's like, socially, this is a fucking distraction. And I'm sorry, but I don't think it's appropriate for you to teach at this school. Just go find another job somewhere else. Wouldn't you love to leave this place?
And it's like, also, this prank took blocking. This prank took rehearsals. Like, did they rehearse with a sub the day before?
It had a budget. There was a costume designer somewhere because everyone has a black hoodie in their size. So we're going down the single hall in Rosewood.
The one hall,
which was really fun because I did see a behind the scenes photo and it truly is. There's just one hall. But anyway, we see this little scoundrel in a black hoodie running into also potentially the only classroom, Allie's classroom. And she goes in and she's like a little bit nervous. And I was like, surely that was a hallucination, or like one kid wearing a black hoodie is not that weird. It's probably just the loner kid. And she goes in and every single student is sitting at their desk in a black hoodie with the hood up staring at Allison. And dude, like, I guess what? She blacks out. I don't know.
I mean, I would pass out and then we see her in the bathroom. The way
I would, like, I would puking. Be throwing desks. I would be freaking
dude,
the
you
hell
would scream.
Out. The disrespect. Oh, my God. Anywho. So she does throw up. She runs to the bathroom, throws up. So Allie and Emily are in Rosewood Times Square. And Emily is getting the lowdown on Allie's first day back. And Allie doesn't want to really tell Emily everything. She says it's the usual pranks. And I just want to say, hey, no, it's not. Hey, hope this helps. No, it's not. And Emily mentions the coaching job. And she's like, would you feel weird like if I was also teaching at the school with you? And of course, Allison's like, I would love it. And yeah, I can't imagine why she wouldn't. She said, you should apply, even if you're not sure. And they sort of have that moment. They're like, look at us. Who would have thought? Not me. They have that moment. Yeah. Like, look at us back here. And it is like, you two might be the most unlikely out of the whole group. This little meeting is interrupted because Aria texts Emily and says, it doesn't seem like the best night to spend at Ezra's. Mind if I bunk with you at Lucas's loft? And here's where you figure out Emily really does feel responsible because she did tell Aria to delete the call. So she's like, now I got to try to get her out of the mess because I got her into it. We then have Sparia. They're at the hospital. They are here to see Dr. Cochran. And this young woman who's like behind them hears them asking for Dr. Cochran and asks if she can help. And they're like, well, sorry, we're not looking for a total freaking babe. This guy was working here 20 years ago. No way. Unless you have a really good injector, it's not you. So she's like, yeah, you're looking for my dad. He was an OBGYN and he lost his license. And right away, a shiver goes down my spine. OBGYN who lost his license. That's a horror film.
This is also like a reminder of how dark the show gets. This whole subplot. Yeah. And also they have a complete misunderstanding of when I think Cece and this other baby would have been born in terms of time period.
Really? Do you have an understanding? The way that they depict
that time in Radley, like, wardrobe vibes, everything. It looks like it's like from like Meet the Robinsons. Anyway, whatever.
So Dr. Cochran, the young one, says she doesn't know where her father is because she hasn't spoken to him in years. And then she asks the girls if they're in trouble. And Ari's like, yes. And Spencer has to be like, not that kind of, like, we're not,
yeah,
pregnant.
Like,
we're Allie, looking for
on.
Solutions. Like,
we're
come
not
on.
Looking for a back alley solution. Like, which is what this is.
Precisely.
Because the girl is like, are you guys in trouble? Like, why would you be looking for this disgraced doctor?
Yeah, exactly. And she says to them, wherever my father is, it's where he belongs. Don't go looking for him. So I don't think this guy is a good guy. And that is not going to help Hannah's case. If we're thinking about Noel calling this piece of shit.
No, not at all.
It makes Noel look more guilty.
This is the weird scene with the weird lighting that I was talking about. We go to Ezra's loft and Emily is trying to fix things and explain, like, I told her to delete it. And Ezra's like, look, thank you for trying to, like, talk. Again, it seems like it's midnight. Thank you for trying to, like, explain to me what's going on. But just because you told her to delete it, it doesn't change the fact that she still did it. Like, she yes. still deleted it. And Emily's like, can you blame her? She's scared. And he's like, scared of what?
Emily's like, she was scared of losing you. She was scared of losing you. Can't you understand that? You guys are OTP. You guys really are. I've literally our goal.
Couple goals.
Come on.
This is really, but this whole conversation is like, this was a conversation that we don't get them a lot anymore. And I think it's deliberate, but like this one, I was like, whoa, like this is Emily going to her high school English teacher asking yes. for like forgiveness. Like she would ask a parent for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And
it was
weird.
I actually had that moment too, where I just kind of like remembered their relationship and I was like, this is weird. But she also has this moment of talking to him where he's kind of going through it because he's like, what if she's alive and what does that mean and blah, blah, blah. And Emily's like, I can imagine how you feel. And I feel like here she's referencing Allison and how she felt with like the possibility that Allie might still be alive when Allie was coming to her in her like dreams and fugue states mm-hmm. and shit. But she's like, the possibility of Nicole being alive does not change everything in your life. Like it doesn't actually really have to change anything. And it seems like she can speak on this from a knowing place because she lived this.
Okay, wait, Allison. Yes. Oh, no, but also, I thought this was weird. When she says, I understand, and he says, how could you? I didn't even think about Allison. I was thinking, well, Maya was missing for a long time, and then they found her body in her backyard, in Emily's backyard.
Okay, good point. So how could you understand? Well, she can understand on multiple
she
counts.
She understands really well,
she can
actually,
understand from
Ezra.
Different levels. Yeah, yeah. So he basically says to Emily, like, I need to think things through. I haven't had time to do that. And then his phone rings, and it seems like maybe he's getting some promising news about Nicole. So Hannah is working on her design sketches, and her shoulder is kind of bothering her, and she, like, pulls down her sleeve and looks in the mirror, and we mm-hmm. can see those marks.
Oh,
I guess,
terrible.
Is it, like, a taser? I don't really know what it was, but she still has those marks, and she has a lot of flashbacks in this episode, mm-hmm. and one starts now, and it's interrupted by a knock at the door. And even though I know you mentioned she was coming back this episode, I just never could have guessed. It does send like such a shock to my system when I see this woman, Mrs. Grunwald, is at the door.
It's always got to be a like, I got to say a line in a weird way.
Yeah, she goes, you look like you've seen a ghost. And it's like, dude, I kind of have. You look creepy as hell. And also, I got to say, I have a bone to pick with the makeup artist. Who did this to her? Who did this to her? Her face looks like she went outside to like a kickball field and took a bunch of the dirt and rubbed it on her face. And it like doesn't match the rest of her body. It looks like she has dirt instead of foundation. And I'm sorry, but part of her appeal as this creepy character is like the texture of her skin. And it's really just like a bad look. And I feel bad. And I think whoever the makeup artist is should have to answer for this. Okay, that's it. So Grunwald asks Hannah if she's alone. And Hannah's like, I mean, like my friends aren't here. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
Caleb's not here. And I forgot for a second that Grunwald like knows Caleb. So it makes sense that she has like an interest in this. And Grunwald basically says that she had a dream and it left her unsettled and she felt compelled to come see Hannah because she got a sense of darkness
Dude,
around
nothing,
Hannah.
Nothing
and
could
Caleb.
Be scarier than someone like her no. showing up to your house and saying that.
And being like, I literally was compelled to come here because I had a horrifying dream
and
about
also, like,
you.
And also, like, the last time that you asked her for help, she was, like, so, like, I don't want to help you. And this
True.
Time she's willingly showing up.
So
how
like,
bad
how
could it
bad?
Be?
Yeah. Good point. Good point. So Spencer's at the barn. She gets a call from Dr. Cochran, the woman. And she is pissed. And rightfully so. She says that her office was ransacked last night. And she believes it was Spencer.
This is Kelly.
And I actually couldn't believe how much Spencer's okay with her thinking that.
This is Kelly calling Caroline when she, like, gets back into the PT Cruiser. After the last time she saw Caroline, she fully, like, detailed her car for her. And then Kelly gets into the car.
Okay, Kelly's never done that.
She did that when she was in Charleston.
Detailed my car.
Okay, detailed is dramatic, but she cleaned your car out. She definitely did. You were like at rehearsal and she cleaned out your PT Cruiser when you were living at Crickentree.
Oh, okay. Wait, no, I remember.
And what
that.
I'm saying is you drive back up to Pittsburgh. She gets into the PT Cruiser and she's like,
she's like, what have you done?
What are you doing?
What have you done?
Literally
you
to
done
my
with
beautiful
my
work.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, Spencer is like, okay, I'll deal with you thinking I did this in a second. But I sense you're going to give me some information I want.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with you thinking that I did it for about 30 more seconds.
Spencer's like, wait, no, what? Wait. I'm just going to let you talk. Yeah. So then Dr. Cochran is like, I didn't give you what you wanted. So you sent someone to come get it, but he didn't find it, did he? And so she gives Spencer an address, 431 Evangeline Highway. She says it's like this shitty apartment complex. And she goes, you should feel right at home. Okay, you've got the wrong idea, lady, about Miss Spencer Hastings. Let me tell you
that. She lives in a castle.
Yeah, she have you ever heard of the Hastings Castle? Guess not. But she says, that's where my father was last time I checked. And if you want him to talk, you need to bring a bottle of whiskey. So Spencer texts Ari and says, looks like Noel Kahn just did us a favor.
And then we go to the Radley, and Hannah's having a drink with Grunwald. And
I am kind of like, why didn't they just have a drink at Lucas's loft?
Yeah, why do we have to go into public?
Seems weird to go to a second location. Seems weird to be in public. And also, I'm sorry, Hannah, but like, it's kind maybe of eye-catching if you're here with this woman who looks caked with dirt. And like, she's dead.
Maybe Hannah wanted, she knew Noel was staying there, and she already thinks the darkness is coming from Noel. So she's like, maybe if we go there, she'll like feel something and be able to confirm that Noel is where it's coming from.
So Hannah tells Grunwald that she and Caleb are not really all right, but that none of them are. And she does express that someone's trying to hurt them. And Hannah's like, but I think I know who it is. And Grunwald asks if this person has a connection to this place, the Radley. And Hannah's like, yeah, he's staying here. And Grunwald, it kind of seems like that's not what she picked up on. Like, she's like, no.
It's
like,
a little different.
Do you know how many people have fucking been here? And like, I'm like, I can feel the sorrow and the weeping. Can you not?
You do have a lot of spirits here, like, that you have probably upset.
Yeah, Hannah, you actually being here is causing mass distress among the spirit world, okay? Yeah. Grunwald's actually here to say you need to get out and never come back. They don't want you or your mother in here.
Every time Hannah walks in, the ghosts hear like this deafening, like they're hearing what Grunwald's hearing.
Yeah. The ghosts are like, this bitch. So Grunwald gets so upset talking about all the people who were here and like who died here that she starts crying. And then I'm just going to go through this. Noel is like there. So Grunwald's warning Hannah that she's in danger. And she's like, it's clear you already know that. And she says, the source of the threat against you is close. And then like Noel comes into frame right over Hannah's shoulder. And Hannah takes a sip of her wine and just like drops the glass on the ground, shatters into a million pieces. And that's when Noel approaches to say hi. And this was so weird. He says, have you taken any country drives lately?
I know. I'm like, which drive is she referring to?
I know. Now I'm like, duh, it must be the storm cellar at Aunt Carol's.
Well, I'm also thinking, is it Rollins when they killed her? Or like they've taken a lot of country drives lately.
Was it the drive in Hannah's dream where she got mauled by a car? You were driving, Noel Kahn?
When Mary Drake drove her home from breaking out of the barn, which she's now thinking he was the one with the cattle prod.
Right. And so Hannah is like looking at Noel, and Grunwald reaches across and grabs Hannah's hand, and instantly Hannah has more flashbacks to when she was kidnapped, and Grunwald's nose starts bleeding. Okay, her Stranger Things edit.
No, literally, okay, 11.
Grunwald in her 11 era. Her nose starts bleeding, and Noel goes freaks and walks away. And I'm like, okay,
you're still 16.
That was justified.
And
though.
Also, but I
sorry, that was justified.
There was a look on Grunwald's face where this is me projecting, but making up a story that doesn't exist, but it's giving like she was in middle school and her nose would start bleeding because she has this power, and like she looked like she was having this like sad moment of like, I'm always gonna be a freak
because my nose bleeds when I feel things, when I have premonitions. Oh, you could be so lucky. Anyway, so Allie is teaching in class. She's teaching about Shakespeare's Winter's Tale, and she's talking about like a liar and what happens when someone is proven to be a liar. And this is kind of a hilarious little, like, it feels reminiscent of season one when Arya and Ezra are having their little back and forth about To Kill a Mockingbird, and everyone in the class is like,
what's going on here?
It's a weird conversation you guys are having in front of all of us. So this kid is like kind of trolling Allison, and basically at the end she says something about liars and he goes, yeah, well, you would know. And it's very awkward. And then she gets called to the principal's office during class. I'm like, no teacher gets called to the principal's office while they are in the middle of a class.
Unless it's a true emergency, which, by the way, this isn't when we get there. But now all the kids think it is.
I was expecting it to be. And then when she gets there, I was like, oh, wait, are you kidding me? We couldn't have waited for like her lunch break.
Literally.
This is crazy. I'll tell you, this classroom needs a supervisor.
These kids are out of control. As you speak, they're blocking out their next prank. You pulled her out of class to apologize for the prank, but they're getting ready for the next one.
They just downloaded Don't Trust Me by 303 on all their iPads. These are all iPads kids, on all their Chromebooks, and they're about to start playing it and passing around drinks and recreating the night that Allison went missing, okay? So we need to get someone in there. But Hackett just literally wants to talk about whether or not she's, like, good to be here. And again, in the middle of class, we're just checking in on her in the middle of class. He heard about the prank yesterday and, like, apologizes. It's like, I think you should be a little bit more concerned.
I think you need to, like, suspend all those kids.
I think those kids need to face some disciplinary action. I think it'd be good. But he asks her, like, are you totally sure you made the right choice in returning so quickly?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, yes. And he's like, there's no shame in taking all the time you need to heal. Shouldn't this conversation have happened before she
walked in there?
In the classroom.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's like, again, the question isn't whether Allie is ready at this point. It's whether, like, this school can actually handle her being a teacher. Like, I think that's the question that Hackett should be asking here. Because what happened yesterday didn't happen because Allie wasn't ready to come back. It happened because of just who she is. It wouldn't have really mattered, like, when she came back.
Mm-hmm.
That still might have happened.
Exactly. She needs to
you
be.
Know what
exactly.
I mean?
She can't be teaching. She just can't be teaching here. That's bottom line.
She can't be teaching
here.
That's
true.
The actual issue.
It was true before any of this newer stuff
right.
happened. Because
so it's not, and like, Allie's yeah, he's acting, I mean, like this thing that happened, like she was like, everybody put on these hoodies.
If there was a girl who like went missing from in our district and then decided to come back and teach there.
No, like that would be
like kids are,
so
kids
crazy.
Are, as they're talking about in the office, it's like teenagers suck. And Allie does
no
know that, but Allie's like, I know that better than anybody. And it's like, girl, we know Astrona Marshall.
I know, which is why, and like, frankly, that could go one of two ways. It either means that you're like not capable of handling it, or that you would be running this classroom like the Navy.
Which
you're
not.
Know, like if you're used to this and you know how kids can be, it seems like you would be like laying down the law. But exactly, she's really not. She doesn't seem like she's like not got a handle on it. But like those students should be so scared of you that they would never do.
And Allie, you've got it in you.
Girl, you used to have this school wrapped around your finger. Okay, you need to go back to the old days.
Yeah, we need to get back
That's
to
what I'm
you
saying.
And the church slapping Mona vibes. Let's
enough of this. Put on that yellow ruffled
Come
shirt.
On.
Go shop at Charlotte Russe. Enough with the ballet flats. And get in here.
The wardrobe
middle
is
part,
just...
And show them who's boss. Come on.
Why are we doing this to our girl?
Oh, my God. I know. The ballet flats, I can't.
It's terrible. So we go to Lucas's loft and all the girls...
Nope. Somebody comes in and interrupts
the
conversation between Hackett and Allie. They need a student file for like a recommendation or something. And she opens up the file for class of 2017, which is when Allie notices where the files for class of 2012 are. And she gets some ideas. The wheels start turning. Now we're at Lucas's loft. Go ahead.
All the girls come by to hear what Hannah's experience was like with Grunwald. And basically they're all immediately like, okay, here she goes again. They all look at each other and they're like, yeah, there she goes.
Lots of talk of explosions this episode because Hannah's like, yeah, and then Noel made Grunwald's head explode because she got the nosebleed. Lots of talk. We had Emily saying, if you take a deep breath, it's proven to stop explosions in small women. Like, we got explosions in the brain, which makes sense considering last episode. They were almost victims
That's
of one.
That's a great observation.
I'm
and
full of them.
Hannah's like explaining this thing where they all this thing that they all talked about in her dream last night, like it actually happened. And Ari goes, we weren't even together last night. And
oh yeah, because Hannah goes, I told you last night. Ari's like, we weren't together.
Hannah's like, in my dream, catch up. We were in my dream.
And Arya gives her like a shitty look. Of course. And this is Hannah's logic. I wrote this down pretty clearly because again, this was an intense episode. So her logic is Noel stole the Mary Drake file. He then hurt Yvonne. He then called Dr. Cochran. He burned them out of the storm cellar. He wrote, I see you on that window. He probably killed Shower. And we know he's bad because he pushed that girl down the steps. This is where I'm like,
so is that canon?
Do we know that in real life? Or was that was in your dream, Hannah?
Exactly.
But Emily reminds her that Sarah like told her that she and Jenna were looking for the same thing that the girls are looking for. And they're working with Noel. So then like, how does that really make sense? And Hannah suggests they were working with Noel to find Cece's killer. So they were, like, working together to find the same thing, but maybe for different reasons, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then Hannah's like, but he is the only person who would write that on that window, which I agree with, you know? Like, yes. That Hannah's connecting the dots. Totally. Why aren't you gross? Aria, why aren't you?
Yes, you were targeted once.
I can't believe you wouldn't be bringing this up every chance you could get. Literally. That, like, this ties back directly to
and
she's like,
and you guys, and you guys said my file was the only one missing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Aria, you and Noel, your former flings. So I would think you'd be all over
this. I'm surprised
this
Hannah's
about
not
you.
Already going down up that tree of, like...
I know.
Is there something going on here?
I am
here?
Too.
But,
but she says they're at a dead end.
Someone's yeah, you're gonna say it. Because I can't remember what leads into this line, but I know we both wrote it down. Well,
no, I don't have, like, a quote. I just have that they're at a dead end. And Spencer says, not exactly. And I wrote, Team Sparry is head of the gyno. Is that a dead end?
Well, there's a point where Hannah says something about something never happening. And Emily says, never say never. And Hannah goes, okay, thanks, Pam.
Never. Oh yeah, and Emily gets more offended by that than literally anything else that's ever happened to her ever.
So
funny.
Yeah, they have a doctor's appointment to go to. Sparia does. So we go to the Evangeline apartments, and they do look happy there. They look like they're perfectly happy and fit in.
They fit right in
because they've got the whiskey.
He is a creep and a half. And when they mention Mary Drake, when he opens the door, he goes to slam the door. But Aria immediately holds up the bottle of whiskey, like, right in his face. And he's like, he, like, falls into a total hypnotic trance and lets them inside.
And then we walk in, and he's got plenty of bottles of liquor. Like, he has, like, a little wet bar. I'm like,
you know, Spencer was like, bring my dad's, like, top shelf, super expensive. Like, we need all the ammo we can get. But he's creepy. He's, like, calling them pretty. He says, I don't usually get a visit from pretty girls. And Aria says, I'm shocked. That did make me laugh. I was like, okay, I'll give you that one.
You can be rude to this guy. That's fine.
You can be rude to this guy. He then says that he saves his social security checks to buy escorts.
And then Spencer says something that, like, did she go teach a health class voluntarily at, like, fucking, like, middle school? Because this is, like, the kind of thing that would be in, like, a PSA. She says, okay.
It would be on, like, a sign that's in a health classroom.
Let's curb the perv.
Yes, absolutely. And I wish that's what they should have named this episode. Curb the perv.
You're right.
Curb the perv. Did I say it wrong?
It could be either. But I think she says curb.
Curb the perv. Curb the perv. She does say curb. And I think that would have been a great episode title, don't you?
It would have been. Better than X's.
Okay, when
OMGs.
We get tattoos to commemorate this podcast, we're getting curb the perv tattoos.
In the same
she
font.
Goes, curb the perv or the bottle walks.
In the same font that Ace's tattoo was on. In on his
yes,
back.
Yes, absolutely. It's gonna be massive. It's gonna be absolutely freaking
massive.
Well, I mean,
massive. It's gonna be massive relative to us.
Well, that everybody knows that's what I mean.
Just
everybody knows that.
I don't want your words to be taken out of context.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Okay. So Dr. Cochran remembers Mary Drake. He said she was pretty, but that she lacked common sense and discrimination.
Okay.
And he was the on-call doctor at Radley.
Hey, don't talk about powerful women like that.
Yeah, hey, how dare you? How dare you? He says he was the on-call doctor at Radley, and there were lots of
problems.
Can you
think of any worse
patients? Nope. Because also, it's giving American Horror Story Asylum.
Yeah.
But it's like, the job wasn't to, like, take care of the patients. His job was essentially to get rid of the children.
But this is what I'm saying.
It appears were conceived.
In Radley.
Like, illegally in Radley.
What I'm also saying is, it's giving American Horror Story Asylum and the way they depict the whole asylum. And that's why I brought up earlier, I'm like, Cece and this other baby were born in the 90s.
Right.
So, like,
why does it look like they were born in the 17th century?
When fucking, like, when the second baby is handed over to the state, why is he in a fedora and a trench coat like it's 1950?
Why is the baby in a fedora and a trench coat? I didn't even know they made fedoras and trench coats small enough for babies.
Caroline, that's what
babies.
That's what every baby leaves the hospital in.
I don't know where this rumor about a baby blanket started. We know the truth. It's a fedora and a trench coat.
I'm tired of big babies' lies.
I'm tired of big babies. I don't mean actual big babies, 9 pounds, 6 ounces kind of babies.
Talking about
big farm, big baby. Yeah. We're on to you.
Me and Caroline work for Boss Baby, not big
fake
baby.
Fake news, fake news. Babies leave the hospital with a baby blanket. Fake news. No way. They also, you know, they also leave with a tobacco pipe. But you won't see that. You won't see that in any of the big sister classes that you might have to take if you're going to have a little sister.
And it's so brave of Pretty Little Liars to finally shed light on that fact.
I'm like, thank you. I'm like, it's not talked about enough, but thank you. Like, it's, and this is why this there's system no, and certain culture.
There's literally nothing more comfortable for a baby to leave the hospital in a fedora and a trench coat.
You guys know that their heads are fragile. You guys know their heads are fragile, right? Yeah. Some babies leave with helmets to shape their skulls, but that's actually why you leave with a fedora, because the fedora is the perfect shape helmet for under a baby's the fedora. Skull to be. Yeah. It's a really nice caging. It's a really nice structure for the head to grow into.
Why would we humiliate a baby by putting them in one of those helmets?
No, exactly. Why would we do that? Why and why would we want them to get freaking cold? They've just been good inside
baby
fedora. Do you know what a human body's temperature is? 98.6, okay? That is what that baby has been cooking in for 9 months. We're going to take them out and just send them home with a cotton blanket? No, they need a full-length trench coat. And the tobacco pipe is just to, like, get them on it, because it's like, look, you're going to be living in this world.
We wouldn't want to send the baby out of the hospital looking uncool or loserish.
Well, we want them to feel cool, and we want them to also just automatically, like, have an addiction.
Exactly. And they also get a tattoo on their right arm of a heart with mom and an arrow through the heart.
And then if the mom decides that she wants one, the baby can also get a tattoo that says Kurt the Perv and a tramp stamp placement. I feel like everybody should know this.
Yeah, so I'm like, kind of done educating
you. Guys know
you.
This?
Hey, it's not my
yeah,
job
Yeah, hey, guys, we're
you.
Actually here to talk about Pretty Little Liars. We are not here to talk about Big Baby or the way that hospitals send newborns.
But that'll be the July Patreon, because July...
Do not even ask
July
me. Do not
actually,
ask me the process for preemies. Don't ask me.
July is baby leaving the hospital in a fedora and a trench coat awareness month.
Yeah. Yeah. June is Pride Month. And July is... babies wear a trench coat and a fedora when they're born awareness month.
Caroline just completely
right?
botched the title of that month.
I know.
She's fake. She's a fake ally.
I'm not a fake
ally. To the babies
ally.
Leaving a hospital in fedora and a trench
it's
coat
called
community.
Some different things.
No, it's
in
not.
In different circles. Well, Phoebe, in different circles, yeah, it is. Stop it. You're going to get us canceled.
Stop it. You're going to get
if
fired.
If you keep saying that. Oh, it's
you're
Phoebe.
Fired.
Stop it. Phoebe. Stop it. Okay, so anyway. His job, Dr. Cochran's job, was to make the problems go away, like babies that were born and someone wanted them not to be born. And he said he dealt with two of Mary's. The first one was a C-section. It was a boy, and he gave it to Jess D. And then several years later, there was another baby, a fighter, underweight, but tenacious.
He goes, leave it, which is how we were always described. He says...
Everyone's like, how would you describe the Connell girls?
Underweight,
but
tenacious.
Actually, tenacious was in Dad's wedding speech about me.
Well, we are.
He didn't say anything about me being underweight because he just didn't want to embarrass
me. It was
so
obvious.
Because everyone talks about my body all the time. And it's like, he was just like, I'm going to give you a break for one night. Okay, it's your wedding day. I'll give you a break for one night.
Okay, so then...
he doesn't remember if it was a girl or a boy.
Yes.
And this baby was put into temporary custody with county family services, and he doesn't know what happened to the child.
Basically, eventually his ability to solve problems became a liability for the hospital. And then he's like, he looks right at Spencer and he says, tell my daughter, you can't deny human nature. One of these days,
literally,
you're always going to return to your family.
I wrote down the entire quote because I thought it was going to be a short quote, and then it just kept going, yeah. But I did do it, so I'm going to read the whole thing. The girls get up to leave and he goes, tell my daughter, she can run from me and our history all she wants. She can even pretend she's someone completely different. But in the end, she's going to want that family more than anything. You can't deny human nature.
Okay, Roz.
You always return to family in the end.
Suddenly it's
Wazowski.
Roz. Suddenly it's just Roz from yes. Monsters, Inc.
So Emily's at Rosewood High, runs into Hackett, and she's like, great news, I'm here to apply for the coaching position. And he's like, great news, I just interviewed another candidate, and I was really hoping you were going to show up. And out walks Mose.
Okay,
and Emily unfortunately does the Shay Mitchell smirk.
This is a moment where I'm a little bit like, and this isn't me being a Paige defender, this is me just looking at Paige objectively as a fucking
can't
character in
this.
The show. If I'm Paige and I dated mm-hmm. Emily Fields in high school and maybe mm-hmm. a little bit in college, and then mm-hmm. I come back to Rosewood where all of that stuff happened to me, and I walk out of a job interview and I see that Emily Fields of all people is living in Rosewood again, sorry, I'm taking the first flight out of there. Because
really?
I don't want to be... Emily and Rosewood is not a good mix.
Yeah, but I think you know this, that Mose is like...
obsessed.
Hard eyes, trying to reconnect.
No, you're right. You're right. That's, you're totally right.
If it had ended like really badly in the... I mean, it's... because we get a little bit of insight into
if they
how
hadn't
ended,
gotten back together in Stanford, I think, because that's when I initially wrote this down. Because I was like, okay, if you, if Paige leaves for California because her parents are like, you can't be around this girl in like this town because it's so dangerous, we're gonna just beat feet across the country. Then I walk out and I see Emily. I'm like, ooh, yikes.
Yes, agree. So Emily and Paige are getting dinner, and Paige is like, so were you surprised to see me at school today? I know. And I guess it's been almost 3 years since they saw each other, and they were living together in Stanford when Emily's dad died.
We were right.
So that's what really broke them
up. We were right, though, because, and hey, I'm not trying to discount this wonderful Californian who educated us on the geography of the state and how Pepperdine and Stanford aren't at all close together, which we said they were.
Yeah.
But we weren't that far off because they were in the same state and they did reconnect.
Yeah. So there.
So there.
Anyway, Emily's like, I know I'm the reason we broke up. And Paige is like, it's all good. It might not have lasted anyway. I had my own patch. I really wanted to get to the Olympics, but I had this car accident and it tore up my knee and didn't heal, whatever. And then they talk about how they're both up for the same job. And Paige says, may the best woman win. Okay, she will. Yeah. Okay, that's a crazy thing to say, Mose, and she will.
I have no doubt. I have absolutely no doubt about it.
So, and then she says, I think we're going to need more wine. And I said, God, this was written in a pre-Chapel Roan era. You obviously have not heard this on Coffee.
Right. Right. Paige gives being too cool for Chapel Roan. Like, she feels that way. You know what I mean?
Well, does she really? Because she was singing Pink in the karaoke bar.
That's what I mean.
Loud.
Loud. Anyway, we go to Rosewood High School. It's nighttime. And every time it's nighttime at Rosewood High, I only think of that one time Emily got locked in the closet while heavy metal was playing. And she had to climb out the window and Wayne had a heart attack.
Wait. Yeah. Okay, this show's crazy. Okay, I'm going to say it. This show's nuts. Yeah, so Allie's in her ballet flats because they're good for sneaking around.
Well, of course.
And Hackett's office is locked, and she, like, picks the lock, gets in. And she takes Noel Kahn's file that she had kind of been eyeing up earlier. And as she opens it, there's a note that says, I warned you, bitches. Do you really want to end up
dead? Hey, guys, it's looking like Hannah's not that much of a fucking idiot. Everybody fall in line right now.
I'm ready for Hannah's apology now. Hannah might not demand it, but I will.
We will. Her lawyers.
Yeah, her lawyers, Connell and Connell, are demanding an apology. We don't need any restitution. We don't need any money. We want it. I'm sorry. That's what we go to court for. Apologies. We work pro bono.
I'm sorry lawyers. Blake, hire us.
We love an I'm sorry. Hire us to get your apology.
From everyone in America.
Yeah, and I'll do whatever it takes to get that apology. Trust. Anyway, a janitor comes in and Allie hides under the desk.
It did look like for a second it was going to be one of those Scooby-Doo masks.
So Ezra's watching the news and the rebel camp has been discovered. But they don't have any update on whether or not the hostages are alive. So they're establishing a hotline for loved ones. And this is when Arya walks in and says that Ezra should go.
Yeah, and she...
And this is her actual good moment.
Because guess what she did? She did something actually genuinely selfless, which...
Selfless.
Hey, we'll see if this comes back in a second. Like, who knows? Maybe Wes is coming to town or, like, Liam is stopping through. But she traded in their tickets to Italy so that she could get him this ticket to Colombia.
Yes, and he is truly speechless. And it's clear that she hopes that, like, if he goes, he's going to get the closure that he needs to continue with his relationship.
Because he says, I don't know what to say. Arya. And then she's like, well, I hope when you fucking get there and you see how gross she looks after being at this camp for 2 years, you know exactly what to say. And it's, I got to get home.
Doubt she's, like, taking a shower. I doubt she has any cool accessories. but I do want to say, just because... It wouldn't be our podcast if I didn't add in a little bit of this lore. But, like, yes, Arya does a selfless thing. She cashes in their elopement tickets to get him a plane ticket to Colombia.
Totally.
However, does she secretly love the idea of being the bride who's been left and gets to stare at her wedding dress in the dark apartment with one single light on her, sitting in the chair with all of her limbs pulled up to just show everybody again how fucking small she is?
You know, that was one of the first conversations I feel like we ever had on the podcast was about who can actually sit. Because I think Spencer sits in a rocking chair at one point. She pulls her whole body into herself. And we're like, okay, that's not possible.
Something's never changed. And throughout the show, they all had to prove they can do it. Or, like, you got fired.
It's not a rumor if it's true.
That's not a rumor.
No.
And neither is what we said about newborns.
Well, they knew that.
I know, but just in case, we have some haters.
Anyway, I feel like Aria, as she was buying those plane tickets, she was like planning in her head. You know, when you're like about, you know, you're about to be like left home alone, like when we were, and you're like, yep. You're immediately planning what your first night is going to be. It's like, I'm going to order, at the time it was like, I'm going to order sushi 3, get it delivered.
Yes.
I'm gonna like
watch
every movie I've wanted to watch ever in the day,
yes.
And have all the lights
yes.
off. No one will bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis is in bed in a different room, so I can't hear him snoring. Like that's the night. And this was Aria thinking about that. She's like, oh my god, okay. I'm gonna turn the lights on. I'm gonna turn the lights off and that one light on, so that when I walk in before I leave, I'm gonna turn them all off. So when I walk in, it's already like that, so I don't have to set the mood.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's a spotlight on my
chair. Exactly. And I'm actually gonna take my wedding, as soon as Ezra leaves, I'm gonna take my wedding dress out already. So it's sitting when I get back, and I have to I walk in the door and I have to look at it.
Right. And I couldn't decide if I wanted to put it on and be the bride who's sobbing in her wedding dress, but I haven't actually worn it yet, so I didn't want to stain it with any mascara.
Right?
So I'm just gonna look at it and then have a really dramatic moment where I zip it back up and say, I might never get to wear you.
How would you rate her dress?
In another life. I would like to see it on, because I do think wedding dresses look completely different when they're on the hanger
versus on the top.
But I didn't hate it, but it, yeah, it's not what I expected for her,
no,
really, but that's fine.
It's not what Marnie wore to her wedding, so obviously it's not right.
Right. So everyone except for Aria is at Lucas's loft, and I do just want to point out, like, Aria, you could have been there, but okay.
No, she was,
well,
she
I guess
said,
not.
Hey, I had a night,
she's taking
I had a night planned.
Yeah. Yeah, true. So Hannah is like studying this note in the Noel file, and she has more flashbacks, and like abruptly just leaves the loft, goes outside and calls
somebody. Literally giving. I was like, when she touched that note and had those flashbacks, I was like, Hannah is forcing herself into feeling like she has the gift Grunwald has. Like, I literally feel like she's like,
yes,
no, I need to, like, if I touch this,
she
I'll feel
is,
this.
I mean, she is literally setting herself up for exposure therapy to try to fucking remember who the fuck was torturing her. And it's like so brave of her. It makes me think of this Sherry Papini story.
Wait, Caroline.
And they're like,
I need you to know that is not what this girl is doing.
Wait, really?
You're not prepared for what this girl's doing.
Wait, I literally thought she was like recreating the conditions of her kidnapping to like try and like remember.
No.
Then I absolutely have no idea what's going on here. I thought the whole time, I was like, it's so sad
no,
that she's
it.
Like doing this.
You're gonna love
like,
it.
Okay. Okay. Well, she says on the phone, the deal's on. I get you the money, you get me the keys tonight. Then you forget you ever heard from
this
me.
This acting.
My name, the location, this number, all of it. Do you understand? Do you understand?
And then she like leans good. Back on a hip.
The less you know about this, the better.
And she's Ashley Benson's acting in this, it did make me laugh out loud. It wasn't necessarily
yes.
meant to. Sorry, Ashley, but it's so Hannah when she like has to be serious. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Oh my god, yes.
She finally
yes.
gets to like do what Spencer and Mona, like she always watches them do.
Yeah.
So then she walks off.
Well, she knocks on Caleb's hotel room door.
Caroline, were you pissed again? But they're making you wait for it.
They're making me wait for
and
it.
It's gonna be so good when you get it.
Wait for it. No, I know I will be. She goes out she goes to his hotel room and she's like, I'm just letting you know, I'm gonna be off the grid for a couple of days. And going to New York to work on my business. And he offers to go with her.
Me on Friday when I was like thinking I was going to go to Bonnaroo. Hey, I'm just going to be off
the
grid,
for a few days. Yeah. You wish, bitch. I'm like, Hannah, famous last words.
Yeah.
Ever heard of Bonnaroo 2025?
Or 2021.
Yeah. But he offers to go with her. And she's like, no, it's fine. And she starts walking away. And he's like in the hall watching her walk away. And she stops. And she turns back and she like charges towards him. I thought she was going to grab him and kiss him. She gives him this massive hug and they pull apart and their noses are like right up against each other. And then she leaves.
Guys,
oh
my God.
Oh.
He literally, the way he brushes his finger across her lips, I was like.
No, I mean, they just know what they're doing.
Oh my
they just
God.
Know what they're doing.
How did I feel
us.
When I watched this when I was sick? I've watched the show so many times that I can't even like identify with who I was watching it for the first time anymore. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I can't remember. Anyway, yeah. So we go to the airport and Aria, of course, she slams her hand, her left hand on the taillight so that Ezra has to like hear the
ring
crack on the light. She's like,
mm-hmm.
And just remember that. And
don't forget the sound of that.
Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. She like punches him in the face with her ring
finger.
She's like, sorry, I just wanted you to remember, have an imprint so you don't forget.
So
Nicole knows.
So she asks,
you got someone to make rock.
It's like, it's the wedding ring I bought for you, Nicole.
Because Nicole's probably going to be really concerned about you when you find her. She's been missing for two years helping rebels in Colombia, but she's probably going to be really wondering about what that bruise on your face is from. Also, like, shocking to think of Aria dropping anybody off at the airport.
Also, she's wearing Spencer's. They're all wearing the necklaces that Spencer got them. Or I only noticed nice Emily her. And Aria wearing them.
Cute. So she drops him off at the airport and he walks away and they like don't kiss. They like just hug and they leave and then he comes back aww. And gives her this big kiss. And you can't deny their chemistry. It's true.
I just wish like the circumstances of the relationship were a little bit different.
Yeah, me too. So we go to Sabrina and Emily at the brew and they're catching up. And this is where we see Moe's watching
like,
from the window.
I feel like we didn't get enough from their dinner to warrant this kind of scene.
No, I agree.
It felt weird.
I agree.
I feel like we're setting up. Well, and maybe they wanted us to be suspicious of Paige, like when she came back initially. Which
maybe,
I don't really remember them doing that, though. Like, I don't remember feeling that way. But this scene
is feel
just,
like that's.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's what this is either. I felt like it was odd. And I guess they're like leading us to believe that, you know, Moe's and Emily are having like a ton of wine and they're having like this big night. But it's like. It couldn't have been that impactful if she is back here with her current flame.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like, and I'm also like, okay, wait, did Paige like drop her off at the brew?
Yeah. Well, I was like, maybe Emily was drunk and she's like walked over because they're on the same block,
yeah.
right?
Well, there's only one basically.
I'm just imagining she was at
that's
the Apple Rose
they
brew.
Were. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Okay. I was like, Emily probably was like, I'm just going to walk over to the brew. Yeah. And then,
but then Moe's, what have you been doing?
Moe's is like, well, I need to see why she needed to walk over to the brew. It's closed. What's going on there?
Moe's is like, Emily, you stupid bitch. The brew's closed.
She thought it was going to be this romantic thing of like, Em, you forgot.
Yeah,
Em,
you're
home.
So silly. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. So Paige watches that. And then we have that moment that we described gorgeously. And this is, bet you Ruth's day.
This montage is so
wider in the dark. That's
that,
what this
the
is.
Amount of times Aria's posted that on her Instagram story is actually should be outlawed.
The limit does not exist for that one. No, literally. We then see Spencer looking through a family memory book. And the thing that I picked up on, I don't know if I was supposed to pick up on yet, so I'm not going to say it.
Well, did you pick up on her whole outfit and hair situation?
Well, was it like a pink Argyle sweater?
Yeah. And like a high pony with the bangs coming down.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this is American Girl doll
this
version of Spencer, who's just not who we've been
this
seeing
is Molly.
As of late. Okay. This is Molly
this is like
or Samantha,
Spencer's,
American
Spencer's
Girl
never,
doll.
Like this Spencer's a virgin, which we know not to be true.
Right. No, this Spencer does not know about sex yet. And she is not into drugs or pills.
And
okay?
It's not even like it's not. Like a big Argyle sweater that's like it was comfy to put on at the end of a day.
No.
It's like a fitted.
It's like fitted.
Like probably
fitted.
One of the most uncomfortable things you could ever put on your body.
She didn't want to go to the barn to get her clothes. So she just went up to her childhood bedroom and like took this out and was like, whatever. Whatever, my boobs are huge now, so it'll be a little tight. I'll be busting out of it, but that's fine.
Maybe Toby will come
just
over
home.
Later.
Maybe Toby will come over and he'll be like, God, I remember you in that sweater. You didn't quite fill it out as much back then. Anyway, and then we have Hannah, and she's in a shitty room, which is when I thought she was recreating her captivity. That's what I thought was happening. I was like, poor thing.
Well, Caroline,
like, she's in here.
That is so creative.
Pushing
though.
Herself into a PTSD, like,
and not telling any
dungeon.
Of her friends.
Not on her own, not telling any of her friends.
If she were to be
and
doing
she's
it,
like,
that's how
I
it
am
go.
Going to trigger myself enough through exposure therapy to remember exactly who fucking did this to me and solve this case. That's what I thought she was doing here. And you're telling me that's not even remotely close?
No, that's not gonna cut it. But
I hate to hear that. I famously hate to hear that I'm not even close. Right. Something that I think.
You do hate to hear that.
Because she's in this shitty room, like pulling out a tarp and duct tape and like putting newspaper over the windows, like what else am I supposed to believe here?
I don't think you're supposed to know yet.
Well, I like
but
knowing.
You'll find out soon.
I like knowing everything.
Except for next week.
Oh my God, you guys, that's the end of the episode. I did actually enjoy this
episode.
This
was a pretty good episode.
But it was like, in the beginning, I was like, oh, fuck,
I was like, I'm
going to
hate
like, this. This is going to be chock full of important deets.
Yeah.
And it was, but it was
not in the
as,
way that I anticipated.
Compact as I thought it would
And I
be.
Like when they close out the whole episode of the montage, because then it's like, I can just kind of like, I can visually remember it. I don't have to write
yes.
it down as
yes.
clearly.
Yeah. And you know what? More room for world building, obviously. You guys, there was no dialogue in the Aria scene. If you can believe it. There was none of it. There wasn't even music with words, okay? We put a lot of that together ourselves. And so it's just kind of fun.
This was an educational. There actually was music with words. It was that one that was like, what a girl wants or something.
Oh, yeah. It kind of sounded like, I don't know how you say the band's name. M-O with a slash through it.
Yeah.
You definitely know who this band is.
I can picture, but I just don't. I don't know how you say it.
But, no, I know that there was, but I, in my mind, like, in the moment where we saw Aria, it was just instrumental, so she hadn't started singing yet. Anyway, whatever. Guys, that's the episode. Holy freaking moly.
You guys learned a lot.
Let us know what you think
much.
About the return of Mose.
They
what?
Learned a lot. I'll tell them that much.
Yeah, you guys, let us know if... did you guys also know?
That well, every newborn baby comes newborn home baby in a fedora and a full-length trench coat?
Because if you, I don't know if you guys knew that yet. It's like weird to think of people not knowing.
Well, it's just
it,
like, I mean,
I
we're not, you're not
we
allowed,
wouldn't have to talk about
to
it if everybody knew it.
Babies when they're in it.
No, no, you'll get killed. You'll get shot.
Like if you're seen that, leaving the hospital, like literally you get shot point blank.
They'll take you in the back and like execution
tonight's
style, line
be
you all up and shoot you in the head if you take a picture of your baby.
Tonight's gonna be so. Do you hear that thunder?
No.
Oh my god, I'm having the best night of my life.
As long as the power doesn't go out and you can't watch Love Island. Why did I say that to you? Because I'm evil. Because I'm bad. I was about to sing, you're gonna be busted. You know that one?
Of course.
Of course. Okay. Next week's episode, The Wrath of Khan. One of the PLLs goes rogue to prove that Nul Khan is Uber A. My guess is Hannah. My money's on Hannah.
I think that's a safe
While
safe
the
one.
Others try to find evidence to back her theory. And that's where I'm like, maybe not, because that would be new. If the liars
wait,
are trying to find
wait,
evidence
wait,
to back
this,
Hannah's theory, that would
is
be
this
a new
fan
thing.
Written? Did I write this in my sleep? Because this can't
is this
be right.
This episode fan written? Because this doesn't sound like the show we know.
No.
And that we've been watching. Okay, you guys, that is the episode. Hope you enjoyed. Make sure you go listen. We put out a long, nice and long podcast for you on Tuesday. Talked all about everything.
Our mom loved it.
We put up our pop culture. Yeah, she loved it. So that's a good sign. This upcoming weekend, we are going to have a Pretty Little Punch Bowl. Make sure you tune into that. I think that's all I can think of.
Yeah, we don't know what
guys.
It's about
if you could
yet.
Leave us a 5-star
but we could
review,
always talk about
that would be
Big
amazing.
Baby.
Well, of course, but if you guys have had enough of that, if you're like, we don't want facts. If you guys don't want facts and you'd rather just have like storytelling and us world building, then we won't talk about Big Baby. But if you want the cold, hard facts and information, then sure, we can talk about that.
Right, exactly.
All right. Guys, we love you so much. Please leave us a 5-star review. Send this episode to someone who you think would love it. We love you guys so much, and we will see you next week.
And
splash.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.